In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is born. I know in some Slavic traditions, we don't have it, but on this day they'll say Christ is circumcised. But I think it's kind of an awkward greeting. So we'll stick with Christ is born. Today the church celebrates what may seem to some, maybe many, a strange feast, the circumcision of the Lord. Why commemorate a law and a practice that belong to the Old Testament? After all, did Jesus of Nazareth not do away with the old law? And all the more, did not the Apostle Paul preach extensively how the old law and its practice does not save? Nonetheless, as with every event and act of our Lord Jesus the Christ's earthly life, the eighth day practice in the life of a Jewish baby boy does have profound and significant meaning for a baptized person with a lived faith in the 21st century. You may recall that circumcision was a commandment given to Abraham. All those are going to be a part of the chosen race of men, people of Israel, had to go through the marking of circumcision. That was the Old Testament law. Then the Lord comes along in the New Testament, and he preaches that he did not come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. Quote, "Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." End of quote. Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. And we read after the resurrection how our Lord opened the meaning of the prophets and the law to the people. So the Lord did not come to do away with the law. The law of circumcision, therefore, was not abolished for the people of the New Covenant, for the people of the New Testament, for the baptized person. However, in Christ, the practice was given its definitive meaning. And the church in her wisdom today gives us the epistle from a section from the epistle of the Colossians, where Apostle Paul explains the true, the real, the definitive meaning of this practice in the Old Testament. Quote, "In him too you have been circumcised with a circumcision not wrought by hand, but by putting off the body of the flesh, a circumcision which is of Christ. For you were buried with him in baptism, and in him also rose again through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead." End of quote. Colossians chapter 2, we heard it just a few minutes ago. While the Old Testament circumcision, therefore, involved a small affliction to the body, a small portion of skin, and the shedding of some blood, the circumcision of the heart, that of the New Testament, is far more tedious, far more encompassing, and far more painful. while the circumcision of the Old Testament involved a small part of the body, the circumcision of the New Testament involved the whole person, mind, body, and soul. Jesus the Christ preached in his own way when he said these words, quote, "If any man comes unto me and hates not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brothers, his sisters, and his own life, that person cannot be my disciple." End of quote. Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 14, verse 26. Hence, as with so much in the Old Testament, the practice of cutting the flesh was but a foreshadowing. It was a prototype of what the true cutting would be, the circumcision of the heart, which meant to remove from everything in your soul, in your mind, in your body, that in some way does not fulfill the will of God. Rather gives in to one's own disordered acts, or acts of disordered love. That is the life of Jesus of Nazareth, who said, "I came not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me." And the Lord in human nature subjected everything, his mind, his soul, his body, all that is human, all that it means to be a human being, he subjected all of that to the Father. And that, by baptism, is the life that you and I are called to live. And so St. Paul writes those words we heard in today's epistle, quote, "In him you too have been circumcised, with a circumcision not wrought by hand, but through the putting off of the body of the flesh, a circumcision which is of Christ." In other words, taking out everything in your life that is not an icon of Christ himself. Why? Because you were buried with the Lord in baptism. That was the act of circumcision, the cutting away of the old man so that the new creation could come alive and live in the light of Christ. The Christmas season celebrates with festive joy God's greatest gift to mankind. It's an extraordinary gift. It's an incomprehensible gift. It's an inconceivable gift. God became man that man may become godly. For such an ineffable gift, what will you not sacrifice? For such an esteemed gift, what will you not circumcise from your own heart? Fear of death, anxieties, disordered acts of selfless love do nothing but shun that great gift. The one with a lived faith, however, makes an offering to God. And whatever you and I offer to God, God always returns that gift, transfigured, changed. In the liturgy, the church offers to God bread and wine through the hands of a priest. And God returns those gifts transformed into his body and blood. You and I offer God our bodies. And he gives them back, deified vessels of divine grace. You and I give God our minds, and God gives us back the mind of Christ. You and I offer to God our hearts, and God gives them back as sacred holy temples of the Holy Spirit. Take to heart then the words of Jesus the Christ today. Quote, "He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life, circumcises his life in this world, shall keep it unto eternal life." End of quote. Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 25. Indeed, my brothers and sisters, what is not gifted to God shall not be healed. What is not offered to God shall not be transfigured. In the anaphora of St. Basil's liturgy, which we are celebrating today, listen closely at the end of the priestly prayer, how it concludes. You'll hear these words, quote, "Give us your peace and love, O Lord our God, who has given us everything." End of quote. Everything. The Lord has given you everything in your life. But in some way, in some fashion, we steal it. We hoard. We hold back from God. And above all, the greatest gift he has given to you and me is life. Today begins a new calendar year. Today begins new resolutions. Today is a new beginning. In order to receive this great gift of life, because we all in some way or some fashion hoard this perishable life, what will you circumcise from your heart this year that you may receive the gift of life and receive it abundantly? Christ is born. Lord,